Log Talk Radio.
Richard Young with that board back here, and let's stand together, take out our songbook, and turn to number 57. Number 57. Amy, you've been with us tonight. We're going to sing about your church.
She goes to Calvary Baptist. That's why I say that.
Yes, I stood in vanity and pride, gathering on my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me to die on Calvary. Mercy, there was grace, grace was free. Pardon, there was multiply to me. Where my burden think I never be at Calvary. I don't know where my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the Lord's word, till my guilty soul is borne to Calvary. Mercy, there was great and grace was free. Pardon, and there was multiplied to me. Then my body so found liberty at Calvary. Now I gladly hold him as my food. Now my rapture so can only sing of Calvary. Mercy, there was great and great was free. Pardon, there was multiplied to me. There my burden so from liberty at Calvary. Oh, the loving truth of nations flag. Oh, the grace we brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God we brought this man at Calvary. Mercy, there was great and great heart free. Oh, and there was multiplied to me. At Calvary.
Amen. Praise God. It's good to be in church with you tonight. Amen. All right. We're going to take up some offering here in a minute, but we got a prayer request. Sounds about like what my father-in-law has been dealing with his knee. And y'all remember to pray for him too. Sound like they're both dealing with all kind of problems in them joints. And that ain't no playing matter there. It's serious stuff. Lift him up in prayer. Anybody else? Yes, Miss Charlotte. I've been sneezing my head off, or maybe that's I got getting around the same stuff you are, because it's getting to me. Anybody else been sneezing much lately? It's been eating me up. We'll be praying for you, sister. All right. Anybody else? Mama? Them up in prayer, please. We covet your prayers. All right. Right. All right. Right. They sabotage their stuff. Amen. Yeah, well, the devil hates the word of God. He sure hates the gospel getting out. So pray for them. Yes, I've seen that too. I'm glad you mentioned that. Y'all lift up little Jack in prayer when he gets well. I don't know what it is, but anyway, she said he wasn't feeling good, so lift him up in prayer. All right. I've got an unspoken request tonight, something really heavy on my heart. I really don't want to mention it, but God knows what it is. Lift my need up in prayer tonight, if you would. I appreciate it. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's ask God to meet with us. And we didn't mention Madison and Lane on there, too. All right. Robert, lead us in prayer. Amen. You can be seated.
Help.
when nothing else could help, God lifted me. All my heart to Him I give, ever to Him I pray. Even close His presence live, ever His praise we sing. Love so mighty and so true, parents my closest thoughts. Faithful loving servants serve to Him below. Love did me, love did me. When nothing else could help, love did me, love did me.
You know, I had somebody tear me down on the phone today pretty hard. And I just sat and took it, even though it wasn't true, but I had somebody tear me to pieces on the phone. That's okay. But you know what? I just got to thinking about it. You know, the worst you can say about me, I can say a whole lot worse because I know the real me, hey, man. I can say a whole lot worse than anybody else would come right down to it. That's what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, you know, people talk bad about you, but if they really knew the truth about you, you must worse than they ever thought you were. So, you know, so you might as well not worry about it too much because God saved you. Amen. If he saved you, that's all that matters. But I want to help you tonight. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. I'm so thankful for the book of Proverbs. I'm so grateful that God give us so much minute wisdom. Minute wisdom. I mean, down to the nitpicking things. God is a God of details. God is a God of help. God is a God of wisdom. Amen. And I'm very thankful for that. And tonight we're going to talk about the advantages of wisdom. We're going to look at Proverbs 2, verses 10 through 22. And let's go ahead and read that scripture, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at what we're going to look at, and then we'll look at it. Amen. All right, I got three pieces of advice when I was down there at that meeting here a while back. It said the three things that all preachers need to know. It says, let's see, he said, know your stuff. Number one, know your stuff. Number two, know who you're stuffing. And number three, stuff them. That's what he said. So that was great, our theological advice. You know, know who you're stuffing, know your stuff, and stuff them. All right, so I'm going to try to stuff you tonight. Proverbs 2, verses 10 through 22. Let's read. The Bible says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold on the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for reading it. I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts tonight from it. Father God, I thank you for the truth. I thank you, Lord, that it doesn't change. Lord, from generation to generation, right is still right, wrong is still wrong, no matter what anybody thinks. Father God, I pray you'd help me tonight, Lord, to shine a little bit of light onto the ugly truth that's out there. Lord God, help us to take wisdom from it, Lord, and heed the warnings that are there in the Word of God. Lord, I realize I'm not just speaking to these that are in this congregation, but Lord, to all those who will engage by way of Facebook, Lord, the internet, Lord, who will listen in on Blog Talk Radio. Father, I realize I'm speaking not just to these that are in this room, but also to young people, Lord, to people who have just gotten out of a bad marriage, Lord, people who are just going into a bad marriage, Lord, some that are, Father, they're young and they're first time faced out in this big old world without parental authority, and Lord, there's so many temptations. Lord God, I just pray your help tonight. Lord, help these, Lord, that already know these truths, Lord, to take them and put them in their back pocket for the time when somebody's going to need this help and this advice and these truths. Lord God, please just, Lord, may we take it and Lord, just set it aside for you to bring out when we need it, Lord God. We just praise you and we thank you. We give you all the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's good to be with you tonight. Amen. It's good to be in God's house. I'm telling you, I'm thankful to be here. I really am. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's look there, beginning in verse 10, and we were here last time. Amen. I'm trying to remember exactly what we were talking about last time. It's been a week since I've been here. Amen. God has got wisdom for us. Amen. God has got wisdom. And he talks about seeking after that wisdom. That's what we talked about last week. We talked about crying after it like a baby crying in the night after milk. We talked about how men search for it as for treasure. They'll give it, you know, he says if you'll seek after it like a man seeks after treasure, investing his life into it, investing his money into it, investing everything he has into it, God will give that wisdom. And that wisdom will preserve you. And that's what we talked about. So we got down to verse 9, and he says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity every good path. So God's saying, if you just get it, it's going to help you. Amen. And I want us to talk tonight. We're going to talk about the advantages of wisdom. I've got three thoughts on this that I want to share. Number one, verses 10 through 15 will show us that wisdom will guard you from the snares of evil men. And they're out there, plenty of snares of evil men that want to do us harm. And then we get to verses 16 through 19. We'll look at how wisdom will guard you from the snares of evil women. And there's plenty of those out there who are seeking to trap and hurt people as well. And then the last three verses, verses 20 through 22, we talk about how wisdom will guide us and keep us in the way of good men. Let me just say first of all that, again, I thank God for the book of Proverbs. I've studied the book of Proverbs ever since I've been in my Bible. I've read it and read it and read it and read it and read it. I've done devotionals with kids on it. When my boys were growing up, I read it as often as I can. I used to try to read it every single day. I don't as much as I used to, but I still try to read it often. Amen? Because it's a great advantage to you. I mean, you think about it. You've got a book here that deals with all the troubles and problems and issues that people deal with on a regular basis. You deal with those who deal fairly, and you have those who deal unfairly. And God tells us how to deal with both. He tells us how to deal with the wise man and how to deal with the fool. He tells us how to deal. He tells us how to deal in business and fairness and finances and how to deal with matters of the heart and matters of the flesh. He gives us all this. So it's a great advantage to us, and wisdom, it will keep you from sin. Amen? Wisdom, when you have wisdom, you say, hey, this is going to hurt me. This is going to hurt my relationship with God. Wisdom will keep you out of sin. Amen? And because why? Because sin will destroy you. Amen? It's so important that you stay out of sin because you don't want it to destroy you. So wisdom is worth more than all the gold and silver and precious stones in the world, because a man can have all those things and still fall into these traps that will destroy. Amen? But if we've got wisdom, then we've got enough sense to avoid the things which cause all the harm and the suffering in life. Amen? So we ought to make good use of God's wisdom and let it guide us in pursuing righteousness. I mean, I want to do right, don't you? I mean, we want to. But, you know, the truth is we've got a lot of things trying to tempt us and direct us off the path. So we need the wisdom of God in order to keep us on the path, to shine that light on the path so we're able to see what God would have us to do in doing and pursuing righteousness and in chasing after God. Because that's all our life's goal is to chase after the will of God, to want to do God's will, to follow him. And we need that wisdom. And we also need that wisdom to arm us against the temptations that are going to come at us constantly while we're pursuing after God. Now, the question is, it's been in this book all this time. The question is, are you using it because it's freely offered to you? Or are you making the most of this wisdom that God has given you? Because God gives it to us to preserve us from evil. Look at verses 10 and 11. It said, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. This wisdom will benefit us and be a great advantage to us. Number one, when it has dominion over us. Amen. Now listen to what it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart. It doesn't say when wisdom goes into your head. Because you know what? You hear wise things all day long. You can even memorize wise statements of the wise.
But until it sinks down into your heart, amen, and makes that 18-inch migration, and you say, oh, I don't just know that, I believe that. Amen? The Bible says when it enters into your heart, then that's when discretion preserves you and knowledge keeps you. Amen? When it don't just, again, when it becomes a reality and not just a saying you've heard people say. Amen? When it becomes something you live by. Amen? And not only that, but God says that when it enters into your heart, and then he says, and when knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Amen? When we delight in it, not just know it, but when you take delight in it. Amen? You know, when you see walking with God and staying in fellowship with God, not as a duty, oh, I got to stay right with God, so I can walk with it. But it's when it becomes, when it's not a task, but when it becomes a liberty and a pleasure, I get to walk with God. That's why I don't want to sin. Not because, you know, it's so hard to try to do right. No, when you finally come to the realization that God loves you, and wants to spend every moment with you, and you with him, you begin to see it. Hey, this is a great thing. This is not art. This is not drudgery trying to live the Christian life. This is fantastic. I get to spend time with God. Amen. When you have delight in it. Amen. When you see it, living a godly life as a comfortable life and not as a restraining life. But you know, a lot of people, they look at the Christian life and say, man, I don't live like this. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's the way they look at the Christian life. Man, that's too hard. Who could do that? I don't look at it like that. I look at it like, praise God, I get to live every day with my Lord and Savior. Amen. And listen, doing his will pleases me. It's not hard to do. Amen. But I need the Word of God to guide me so that I'm able to do it successfully. So let's look at this tonight. Number one, wisdom will guard you from the snares of evil men. Amen. I know that we know that we're in a world full of corrupt men. I don't think I'd have convinced anybody of that. Amen. All you got to do is look out there and listen for 5 seconds, and you can tell that we're living in the world full of corrupt men. Have y'all heard? I don't mean to just bring politics up every time we get together, but I heard some of those crazy things come out of the lips of the liar in chief just the other day. He made the statement that now, right now, people were financially more secure than they have been in years, and feeling better about the economy than they have in years. And I mean, I'm telling you, he just had one lie right after another. And I remember Joseph Goebbels, a Nazi, who said, you tell a lie loud enough, big enough, and long enough, they'll begin to believe it. And I remember that. And I remember they're the ones calling everybody Nazis just because, you know, I know you weren't, but what am I? But it's really that they're that. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. But anyway, my point is we're living in a world full of corrupt men. Amen. We're living, and God's word will guard us from those corrupt men that want to enslave people's minds. Amen. That's really what they're after. They're after the enslavement of people's minds. They're godless heathens. Amen. That's what they are, and God will keep us and protect us from these godless heathens. Amen. From these God haters that would corrupt our children. I don't know if y'all seen the latest thing that happened over in Dallas, Texas this past weekend. They had a drag queen thing at a gay bar for children. They brought children in and had them sitting in there watching these men dressed up as women flaunting themselves and making their gyrations all around in front of these kids and teaching them to do the very same thing. Should have everybody in there been under the jail somewhere, but this godless society we live in, they don't do such as that anymore. They give them a free pass because they don't want to offend anybody. But listen, God's word gives us wisdom to guard us from that godless mess. Verse 12 says, to deliver thee. Not just to shield thee, but to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. From the man that speaketh froward things. Now, that word's probably foreign to you. You don't talk about froward things every day, I'm sure. But let me just give you from the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, froward, it means deceitful or fraud. From the man that speaketh deceitful or fraudulent things. So when you turn on the news and they're talking about the righteous life, problem, you know you're being talked to by froward men who speak froward things. When the liar in chief tries to tell you that that it's sun is shining when it's pouring down rain, listen, he's froward in his speech. It means corrupt or perverse. Amen. And listen, we live in a world where there's so many people who speak froward things. Our government speaks froward things. Mainstream media speaks froward things. Hollywood speaks froward things. The pornography industry speaks froward things. The sodomite agenda speaks froward things. The rotten music industry speaks froward things. The pharmaceutical industry speaks froward things. I could just keep going all day. They're all lying to you. They're all trying to deceive you. They all want us gone, and the world would be a lot better place for them if we were all out of here. And they're going to get their wish for too long. We're all going to be gone, amen, and they won't have to deal with us, but they'll have to deal with God then. Amen. They're going to wish they had us to deal with when they all have to deal with God. But the Bible tells us, listen, he warns us about these froward men, these evil men who speak froward things. So we're living in this world, and God knows it. He's telling us right here. He wants to deliver his people away from these corrupt men speaking these froward, perverse, fraudulent, deceitful things. And it ain't just some of them. It's a whole bunch of them. Verse 13 says, those men who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So it's a whole gang of them. And we know that. We're not shocked anymore. Amen. There's a whole gang of them. Now, they leave the paths of uprightness. Now, you hear that? They leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So once upon a time, they were trying, or they were making an attempt, or they were walking past the darkness. They were trying, maybe they weren't believers, but at least they were trying to do it. It have, in America, it seemed like we had a semblance of decency and godliness and modesty and morality in America. But at one point, I faintly remember, and I think y'all probably do too, used to be a time when people didn't talk and act and do things the way they do now. But now they are there. They have gone back to the ways of Baal, just like the Israelites did. They've gone back to the ways of Baal. They have corruption everywhere. Amen? And listen, they've come to walk in the ways of darkness. Again, there ain't no different layers of darkness. It's either light or darkness. It's either God or the devil. It's either God's way or Satan's way. And Satan's way is idolatry. Satan's way is wickedness. Satan's way is the way of the those who love to shed the blood of the innocent. That's Satan's way. He loves to destroy the precious little lives of these babies that never have a chance to breathe the air outside of their mother's womb. He loves the shedding of that blood. He loves the shedding of the blood of the innocent who've been snatched from their homes and their parents all across this country that are tortured and killed and sold into sexual slavery. He's all for that too. All those, listen, who leave the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness. They love the perversion of sodomy. They love that. And listen, Satan's always loved it. Never society that goes corrupt. The killing of babies and the sodomites are the central themes of every corrupt society that's been destroyed. And America's right on the heels of it. Like I said, they're the opposite of what's good. They speak evil of the ways of God. They are advocates for that which is evil. And, you know, when you see people chanting and screaming to murder babies, when you see people doing everything they can to flaunt perversion in the face of the children, it's hard to take, honestly. It's hard to take, but it's because they're corrupt. They don't realize. I mean, they realize it, but they're not doing it with a correct mind. The Bible says in 1 John 2:11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness." Remember, God said they left the paths of righteous to walk in the ways of darkness. "He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth." because that darkness has blinded his eyes. He said, why would people do that way? Because they don't know any better, because they're blind to it. They don't even see how wicked. I dare say that weirdo that went in that school and shot up and killed those people, those two teachers and those 19 kids, I dare say he wasn't in his right mind and didn't know what he was doing. Amen. Listen, had he been in his right mind, he wouldn't have done no such a thing. But he was blinded by his darkness that he'd been walking in. The Bible tells us that the ways are the ways of the apostate. The Bible says, verse 13, who leave the paths of righteousness. They leave it to walk in the ways of darkness. You know, it reminds me, turn over to Romans 1, if you can, real quickly. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. God describes these that leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. Listen to what it says there, verse 18 and following. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, listen, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold the truth. You know what? They know the way of uprightness, but they leave it to walk in the paths of darkness. They hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. So God's revealed himself to them clearly. They know he's there. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. They say, I don't believe in God. Or somebody say, you believe that's a building? Well, sure. Okay, that's a building. Had to have a builder, right? Right, okay. Well, then, okay. So you believe in paintings? Yeah, well, okay. There's paintings. There must have been a painter, right? Okay. There's creation, so there had to have been a creator. They know that. They just don't want to acknowledge him. It's not that they don't know. Amen. My papa told me, he went to World War II. He said there wasn't no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. Amen. I believe that. When them bullets go flying, I'm going to call on God. I heard Brother Tony Hudson talk about being in emergency rooms, ICU units, where grandma's over there sucking her last breath, and her atheist grandson, he'll get up in that huddle when we go to pray for grandma. Amen. So they talk real tough, but when it comes right down to it, everybody believes. Everybody knows the truth. They just don't want to acknowledge it. Amen. But the Bible says they hold the truth in unrighteousness again, because he said, when they knew God, they knew him, they knew he was God, they glorified him not as God. They wouldn't acknowledge his righteousness, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Oh, they thought they knew more than he did. And their foolish heart was darkened. When you leave God's way to do it your way, God will just pull the blinds on your heart. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. We're smarter than God. You know, we can do what we want to. We change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. So they started worshiping man and worshiping birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up. God said, okay, you want to do that? Have at it. He gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's talking about homosexuality is what he's talking about. He'll reference it a few verses later. We're not going to read that far, but that's exactly what he's referring to. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. All you got to do is listen to this. That's all about man. It's all about science. It's all about man's achievements. They want to leave God out of the equation. Don't bring God in here. Don't say God has a standard of righteousness. No, I'm happy in my sin. Leave me alone. Don't tell me that God made me a man or made me a woman. I can choose what I want to be. If I don't like it, I just make myself a Zim or a Zerb. This world's going crazy. It's not going crazy. It's just going satanic. It ain't crazy. It's just gone satanic is what it is. But these people take pleasure in sin. And they not only take pleasure in the sin, they take pleasure in watching others commit it. God's warning us against these people. Verse 14, listen to what it says in our text. It says, he rejoiced to do evil. They say, yippee, 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 we get to go do something evil. And they delight in the frowardness of the wicked. They love it. They love the perverseness of the wicked. I guarantee you, in that stinking gay bar, they was clapping their hands and cheering for them perverts dancing in front of them little kids. I ain't going to tell you what the sign on the wall said, but the sign on the wall was horrendous, and them kids could read it. Amen? Listen, there was two vile signs on that building referring to a sexual act inside that room. Those kids sat in there and watched that garbage, and there was pieces of parents in there letting that mess go on. They love it. Romans 1:32 says, listen, who knowing the judgment of God, they already know the judgment. Again, they knew what God said. They knew God was real, but they didn't want him. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I used to think about a Jerry Springer show. Man, them people on there, they just cheering for all that violence. I used to look at that mess. That was back in the 90s. And look at that and go, good night. That's Romans chapter 1 all right there on my TV screen. But it's so much worse than that now. Again, these corrupt men, as the Bible warns us against, they're committed to their sin. Look at verse 15 in our text. Whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. That line there, they froward in their paths, it means you can't tell them any different. Their paths are crooked. You can't tell them any different. They're committed to their sin. I mean, again, you can stand right in front of somebody who's outside chanting for abortion, and you can start telling them,
she knows how to play
the people she's messing with. I know y'all know somebody like this. Everybody in here has met somebody, knows somebody that's like this. Amen? They're going out turning it on. They know how to flirt. They just say the right thing. Just give God this, get his motor revved up. Amen? With their work on it. And to him, it's a lot of, you know what, she just wants some money. Amen. She just wants to take something from him. Amen. She's lying to butter him up. Amen. Because, listen, if he's foolish enough to listen to her, then he just deserves what he's getting. Amen. When she's done going right on the line here, he's an easy prey. Boy, all she got to do is talk her line, and he'll fall right in hook, line, sucker, square, just like a fish taking an artificial lure in his mouth and chomping down on it and finding out pretty quick that stings and ain't no good. Amen? But she flatters him with her words. She uses him to take exactly what she wants. So all of her affections are lies. Everything she does, everything she says, is a lie, amen. She's just there to take advantage, amen. She's a fallen woman. She's a woman who, again, she's corrupt to the core. Verse 17 says, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Both those statements are referencing her husband. So see, she's not only fake with this fellow that she's trying to influence and trying to take advantage of, but she's a fake with her husband too, because she don't love her husband. If she loved her husband, she wouldn't be moving around on him, amen? But she forsaketh the guide of her youth. That's referring to the man that she found out with, the man that she chose to follow and be a helpmeet to. She's forsaking him, totally turning her back. She's corrupt and doing him wrong. When the Bible says, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. She not only faked to her husband and faked to the guy she's fooling around with, but she's faked to God because she made a covenant with him. And she lied to God when she made that covenant. And then God goes on to say some terrible words here. Verse 18, he says, for her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. The one who turns into her, the Bible's telling us that their ruin is unavoidable unless they repent. Once they get started on that road, it's a dangerous road. I mean, you see what happened to King David. His life did not improve after he fell into adultery. As a matter of fact, his life went down the dumps as soon as he fell into adultery. Adultery will ruin somebody. Fornication and adultery with. Their path is a slippery slope. See, when a man or a woman, either one, let down their guard and commit adultery or fornication, one sin often leads to lie after lie after lie after all kinds of sin and things to cover up for your sin. So it's like I said, one sin opens the gate to two more sins, which opens the gate to two more sins. And pretty soon she's led this poor guy down. Well, that's ain't a poor guy. He went along willing. It takes two to tango. But this fool went right along with her. And God gives more descriptive terms over in chapter 5 verse and chapter 7 on this. But God is very, very much covering the subject of sexual temptation and corruption and those things in the book of Proverbs. He makes it very plain where he stands on it. This world has a whole different view than God does. But God's view doesn't change. It don't matter what era you're living in. Look at verse 19. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now, God's not saying it's impossible for somebody that's fell into the sin of adultery to repent and come out of that, because I know it's a fact. I know too many people who have recovered out of that. But I'm going to tell you something. God's saying this. It's next to impossible. It's next to impossible return when somebody has given themselves up to being a serial adulterer. Somebody that, I mean, they fall once and they repent and get up from it. Yeah, but if they keep going back to that life, it's almost impossible to get somebody out of that once they start. Why is that? Well, it's pretty simple. God says that they've lost hold on the paths of life.
Amen.
They've lost hold on the paths of life. So that means they've taken hold on the paths of death.
Amen. They're headed for destruction. Amen.
It's got a hold on them. Amen. Instead of them having a hold on the path of life and moving forward, they've totally lost their grip. Does that mean somebody loses their salvation and dies into hell? No. But it means as far as them being a success in this life and serving God and having any kind of fruit in this life and it mattering for anything, they're pretty much doomed. Unless they get off that path, unless they repent and turn back to God. But God says it's a very, very dangerous path. When a person gets caught up in the life of corruption, when a person gets caught up in the life of sin, the pull that it has downward. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but I've seen it before about catching crabs. I think I mentioned this once. When they say when you're doing that, but if you catch more than one and throw more than one in there, you don't have to lay the lid off. Because when one tries to crawl up, the other can reach again and pull it back down. And so to keep them from crawling out. And that's the way when somebody gets off into sin, believe me, when you try to crawl out, sinners will reach up and just pull you right back down into it. That's why God is warning and saying that it's next to impossible to get out of that. Because believe me, when you get into that deep of a sin with somebody, there's always somebody going to reach up and try to pull you back down. But the Bible's telling us that wisdom will keep us out of those corrupt paths. Amen. Wisdom will keep you on the path of life. Wisdom will keep you from the sin of idolatry. Wisdom will keep you from the lusts of the carnal mind. And number three on this, wisdom will guide you and keep you in the way of good men, the Bible says. Verse 20. And 21, that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Let's break that down. God says he wants us to have that wisdom so that we'll follow after the example. We will follow after the leadership of good men, those who walk with him, those who know him, to keep the paths of righteousness. Amen. The paths of the righteous. When we have wisdom leading us, like David said, it's a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. When we're walking in the light of the Word of God, and instead of trying to bask in the glow of this world, when we're walking the light of God's Word, amen, we can stay out of the danger. Amen. God tells us it's when we're looking to the right hand and to the left. But when we walk by and we're like, this is what life is and not all that other stuff illuminated. It's when we see that in the world's illumination that we wind up in the wrong place and we wind up down somewhere dark we ought not be. Jeremiah 6:16, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. The Bible says in verse 20 we just read that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men. What do you think of ways he's referring to in Jeremiah R? Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way. Amen. And walk therein, and he said, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Everybody's looking for a new modern way to do something, or a new modern way to look at something. We need to get back to doing things God approves, old true ways. Amen. What used to work still works. The old-time ways of doing things still work. Amen. The old-time ways of being married and loving one another and living together and taking care of one another still works. Amen. Raising children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord still works. Amen. Preaching the gospel, salvation by grace through faith still works. Amen. Loving your neighbors, you see, still works. All of it still works. But the problem is, like this verse is at the end, but they said, we will not walk therein. We don't want that old stuff. We're tired of that old way. They want to throw God out. And where God ain't welcome, listen, everything else is. Last verse, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth,
and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. You better believe that. That's coming. That day's coming. Amen. I heard. What was her name? Maxine Waters, that congresswoman years ago, talking about that you need to tell these people talking about Republicans or conservatives that they're not welcome here or anywhere. Well, someday God's going to say to them, you're not welcome here or anywhere. Amen. He's got a place prepared. And they'll find their way there. The Bible says, Malachi 4:1, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. God has got a place for them, and it's coming. Amen. But listen, if we'll just keep our eyes on the Word of God, if we'll follow the wisdom of the Word of God, this whole world takes touches. Amen. The battle is not, I don't think the battle is so much when it comes to us in this world. I don't think the battle is that we're going to be pulled off into grave sin. I think the battle is for my mind and your mind. It's to fight off the fears, it's to fight off the worries, it's to fight off the anxiety, all those things, the depression, all those things. That's the devil's weapons that he's coming at everybody's minds with. And if we can get us to believe that it's all done, that this worry is in the tank and there's no more good left in this world and there's no more good we can do, let's just give up. I think that's what the devil really wants. He wants us to believe that we're done and there's no more hope. So let's just sit down and wait for Jesus and just quit trying because there's no point. If he can get you to believe that, he's got the battle won. But if you'll just believe that this old book and what it says still works, and we'll just try, if we'll just try what's old, we'll find that it's still just as new as it always was. We just got to get back to doing things God's way. Amen. Let's stand together.